This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kicking off the fart, the final, the money hour of the Rob Brown Show now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, Rob Brown, the great Melonzo with you. Here on a Thursday morning, it is the final hour of the radio program, which means if you want to get in, now's the time to do it. The text line is open, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the show. You can give us a buzz on the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone at 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. That is 844-326-3663. And we also want to remind you, the Ray Memorial hate line is in play now as well. You go to the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Grab it, put it on all of your digital devices. Go to the Fan Upstate page. Click on the little icar.
Now, there we go. I was just waiting.
Go Tigers.
I was just waiting.
Go to the Fan Upstate page. Click on the little heart icon so you follow the page. That way, every time you open up the Odyssey app, it goes right to the Fan Upstate. And on the middle of that Fan Upstate page, you are going to see a little circular button with a microphone on the inside of it. Click on that button, and you can record a 30 to 60 second voice message anytime. Day or night, any day of the week, any week of the month, any month of the year. It can be Christmas Eve at 3:30 in the morning. You've knocked down a handful of laced whiskey eggnogs, and you got to take. You got a smoking hot take that you want to make sure that when the great one and I return the Monday after Christmas, because we're off every day after Monday that week. You're off that whole week. No, you're off that next week, aren't you? Are you off New Year's week?
Not the entire week. I'll come back on the second.
Okay.
But I am off those next couple of days.
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
When I return on that Monday, we will have your takes lined up to knock down. You can also send them, and I mean this, right now. You can send them right this very second. Go to the Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate page, click on the little circle button with a microphone in it, and you can send us a 30 to 60 second voice message that comes right to the laptop that we can integrate right into the radio show like Captain did. Oh, I forgot to change my thing back. Gosh dang it. That would have been absolutely hilarious.
Yes, the timing would have been. You hit the button on time.
I know I did.
Just they couldn't hear it.
Like Captain said. And I haven't stopped losing the game since I lost the game.
You have not. You know what? I think I just saw the boss leave, and I bet he's heading down to the well, Rob.
I bet he is, because on top of letting you know about the Ray Memorial Hotline available only on the Odyssey app, send us that 30 to 60 second voice message anytime, day or night, 365 days a year. We also want to tell you that something is happening tonight. Well, right now, all the way through tonight, and that something is our annual LEO Santa Toy Drive taking place right now at the Bon Secour Wellness Arena, and we want you to be a part of it. We want you to be a part of it by going and grabbing a new, unused, unopened toy, or Stuff a bunch of cash into an envelope. You want to be like ironically hilarious? Stuff a bunch of cash into a brown paper bag and then drop it off to a bunch of cops at the Bonscore Wellness Arena as our local law enforcement and first responders communities are sacrificing their own time off to help underprivileged kids around the upstate have a Christmas. They are collecting toys, new, unused, unopened toys, and money so that kids around the upstate who might not otherwise be able to wake up to find something under the tree will wake up to find something under the tree. They are spending their free time collecting these gifts in this cash, and then they are going to use their free time to distribute those toys and that cash. So, grab a toy, grab some cash, stuff it in a brown paper bag, in an envelope, whatever you want, and head on down to the Bonsecours Wellness Arena to donate. And if you can't make it down there, which doesn't make sense because they started at 6 a.m. today and they're going all the way till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. So you got some free time in there. I know you do, all right? You got some free time. But if you don't, you can go to leosantachristmas.com, leosantachristmas.com, for more details and to learn how to donate there. We appreciate it. We appreciate our law enforcement and first responders who are sacrificing their time so that kids of the upstate who may not be fortunate to have a Christmas can have a Christmas. And we appreciate that out of y'all and out of them. All right, let's get a little sound in here. Let's go with, you know what? I've wanted to get this in for a hot minute. We're going to do some Shane Beamer audio in the next segment. He was talking a lot about the college football playoff rankings, but I wanted to get to this one for just a minute right now. J.J. Watt has spoken out about the Azeez Al-Shaair suspension of three games. Yesterday, we played Jamar Schlereth. Schlereth said, what is he supposed to do? And my answer is, everything the opposite of what he did.
Yeah, not that.
Just everything the opposite. Like, if he would have done any one thing opposite, he probably isn't getting suspended. He did everything wrong. Well, there is a guy, because as I said yesterday on the show, and some of you think it was a hot take to say that I think Schlereth was leaning into a hot take there. I think Schlereth may have looked at that and said, well, everybody's on board with the suspension, so let me go the other way. I don't know. There is a guy that I respect, and I think this guy's been pretty straight as an analyst. You a J.J. Watt guy now that he's in the studio, Lonzo? Because I got to tell you, I like J.J. as a TV guy.
I've always liked J.J. Watt, and I also like his rapport with the guys at McAfee.
Yeah. Also. Yeah. Well, yesterday, J.J. did his Wednesday weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee show, and he got asked about the suspension, and J.J. said the following. So J.J. Watt says, punishment understandable, but pretty extreme, pretty harsh. I don't know, man. Like, again, this is a guy who has got a history, right? This is a guy that is a repeat offender. This is a guy that has been fined or punished no less than. I was able to find five. There may be more because it was kind of a cursory glance. But he got punished at least five times. All of them fines so far. There have been a couple that he didn't get fined for that a lot of people were upset about anyway. This whole concept is pretty simple to me. You're not going to convince me. And I'm sorry. I never played NFL football. But I also know that NFL football players defend their own. I know that. So when a former NFL player says, oh, you know, it's how's he supposed to, like, I get it. You are obviously in a position that is much more likely to know what that looks like than I do. Much more likely to know what that looks like than I do. But at the same time, I got eyeballs. You know what I mean? Like, I got eyeballs. I saw it happen. And it looked at the time like he had plenty of time to pull up. I told this story very, and I'll tell it again very quickly. When I was getting certified to ride a motorcycle, I ride a bike. When I was getting my certification to ride a motorcycle, we had to do a thing where we had to drive 20 miles an hour straight at a dude. And in front of this dude was like a wooden barricade kind of thing, right? Like, you know, a foot or two off the ground and a few feet wide. And he stood behind that thing. And as you drove to him, when you got about 10 yards out, 7 yards out from this guy, somewhere in that range, which is about the distance, in my ever so humble opinion, where it was about the difference then to where Trevor Lawrence was starting to slide. When you got about that same distance away from this cat, the guy behind the barricade would point left or he would point right. This was a test you had to pass to get your license. He would point left or he would point right. And you had to recognize, comprehend which way he wanted you to go, and steer the motorcycle in that direction and leave yourself enough time to get the motorcycle around the barricade. If you clipped the barricade, you lose. You fail that element of the test. Now, I'm not arguing that driving a motorcycle at 20 miles an hour and going left or right around a wooden barricade is the same as being a linebacker going full speed at a quarterback that is coming towards you, right? Because a linebacker is not running, most linebackers aren't running 20 miles an hour. But, you know, when you add that Trevor Lawrence, who probably runs, what do you think, Lonzo, 4 or 5 miles an hour top speed?
He's faster than that.
I know. I'm making a bad joke. When Trevor Lawrence is also running full speed at you, you're probably looking at closer to, you know, 40, 41 miles an hour worth of speed.
He could drop some tenths off if he cut his hair, but why do that?
No, I mean, listen.
Because it is still sticking out of the helmet, so
yeah,
it does.
Yeah. And it flows, dude. He's got flow.
It does.
He's got lettuce. I understand it's a different thing. The point here is you're not convincing me he didn't have time to react. You're just not. And then even if he didn't have time to react, even if he didn't have time to stop himself from dropping the hips, lowering the center of gravity, moving the center of gravity ahead of the feet. Because remember, if the center of gravity is not ahead of the feet, you can't jump forward. That's how physics works. For him to be able to leap forward, dive into Trevor Lawrence, he has to have time to slow down, drop the hips, shift the center of gravity forward ahead of the feet, and then push it into Trevor Lawrence. And even if he didn't have time to stop and adjust that, I know that he had time to not load up the forearm and drive it into the head of Trevor Lawrence. Even if all he could do is he was already didn't have time to stop the center of gravity moving forward, didn't have time to load up into the legs and then explode into a diving tackle. Even if he didn't have time for any of that, which I don't believe. Even if he didn't have time to do those things, he absolutely had time not to load up the forearm and explode it into Trevor Lawrence's face mask. Does anybody disagree with that? Some of you guys have disagreed with me that he didn't have time to recognize the slide and pull off the diving tackle. Even if you disagree with that and you think he absolutely did not, you have to acknowledge that he had the time not to load up the forearm and blast Trevor in the face.
Yeah, it's about the forearm for me. I mean... It's really hard when you're going full speed to stop when the quarterback just decides to slide right then. That is true, and you can't stop yourself to a degree. If he put his hands out to try to stop himself from impacting, that would have looked better on him, but he loaded up that forearm and he came down on his head.
Straight in his face. Joy B says there are dudes who make way more money than we do that can figure out how to properly tackle a sliding player. They're not asking them to figure out cold fusion. It ain't that hard. Yeah. I mean, that's it. As far as the JJ take, James said JJ's going to defend his former team. Of course he is. Of course. And I'm not mad at him for it. I understand that. I understand that entirely. I'm not mad at JJ. And for the record, JJ did say a punishment is warranted, right? So JJ thinks the hit is appropriate. The punishment was appropriate for the hit. He just disagrees with the severity of the punishment, not the punishment. The severity of it. And I can even, to some degree, understand that. Because you don't want to, as we've talked about with college football quite a bit, you don't want to set a precedent where every time a sliding quarterback gets popped, it's a three-game suspension. But as has been pointed out multiple times, Azeez Al-Shaair is a repeat offender. He has been fined multiple times for late hits out of bounds, for inappropriate conduct with offensive players, yada, yada. Nick Caserio, I don't care if your team elected him captain. I don't care. All the time, players do bad crap, and the rest of their teammates rally around them. It's one of the hallmarks of sports. I do not care. He is a repeat offender who has a history over the course of his career of acting this way. He should absolutely be hammered for it. Let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. It's time for Fight Club with the great Melanza. We'll talk MMA and pro wrestling when we come back. Segment after that, we'll get into some of the sound from Shane Beamer's press conference yesterday and more all coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Welcome into the Fight Club, where I got to admit, I've lost a little bit of the fight in me because of what happened Monday night. I mean, I'm still trying to wrap my head around how good WWE has become and their ability to actually swerve the entire world.
Oh, they got everybody.
They got everyone.
They got everybody.
So several years ago, my very first ever wrestling interview was with Xavier Woods. And even I have a poster in there from his TNA days that he signed. You can see a big Creed on there if you go in there and look closely at it. And has always been one of my favorites because he also shares a great love of video games and has the money to...
He's a big dork!
Yeah, he's really... He goes to all the cons, all that kind of stuff. And he's my guy. We've seen this... Seen this heel turn coming for a while, and if you remember,
we saw a heel turn coming.
We were fantasy booking not too long ago, yep. And I said that I think it would be awesome if Kofi turned. I want to take that back. I want to take that back because Kofi did turn, but with Xavier Woods, they turned on Big E, and it's just. When Xavier Woods turned on Big E, it's like, man, that is so wrong. That is so messed up. And then Kofi stopped him and did even worse. And you could just, I'm just sitting there going, wow, emotionally, I haven't felt this way about wrestling in so long.
I agree.
And you realize that the power of positivity is dead. And it's truly dead. And what they did to Big E, because I think a lot of people were hoping that Big E was going to announce, hey, I've been medically cleared. I'm back. And he did say that, you know, he would be in their corner and all that kind of stuff, and then they didn't want him anymore. And I guess, are we going to wait for the redemption angle? Would the B one? Will we look forward to that? Do we hope that, like some people have speculated, that Big E is going to be cleared and he's going to be with his old guy, CM Punk, who he shares time with, has shared time with on the announce desk or the pregame show desk. I don't know, dude. And I'm not the only one who felt that way. It's just, I was so glad because I didn't watch it live. I watched it the next morning before I came into work, and it messed me up the entire day. It really did.
I watch my wrestling either at night before bed if there's no sports on. I catch up. And I couldn't last night because college basketball was in fuego last night. It was as good of a night of college basketball as you're going to get until March. College basketball was great. And we had Monday Night Football, obviously. Tuesday, we had really good college football last night or Tuesday night as well. So I've been watching in bits and pieces in the morning. And, of course, in the morning is also when I have to cut up and edit sound. So I really got about a 20-25-minute window in the mornings to catch up. And so usually I do it in bits and pieces. I was catching up on Raw this morning, and I got to the moment that Big E came out. And I was like, I'm not emotionally prepared for this. Because I've already seen it, and I've already seen the clip. Like, I've already watched what they say to him, how they say it, how they kick him out of the ring, how they blame him for their problems, yada, yada, yada. I've already seen it, and yet still was not prepared to watch the whole clip. I agree with you in that wrestling has not given me that. It's given us a lot of really high highs over the past couple of years. But that's the lowest low that I have felt out of, and I'm going to say this though, maybe out of any form of entertainment in a very long time. Like, it, I genuinely, when I watched that clip on social media, either late Monday night or Tuesday morning, when it hit, and when I saw it, the clip, all it showed for the, you know, they got the little preview where they just show you a still, was Big E out in the ring wearing a suit with Xavier and Kofi, and I'm like, oh yay, New Day rocks, we're back, baby. And then I pushed play, and I was not mentally prepared for that moment, and it felt like I watched the entire lead up to Timmy having to take the rifle out to Old Yeller. It's like, no, I'm not ready for this.
For me, as someone who was a teenager when then WWF had just started to take off with the Saturday Night Main Event, which is coming back here pretty soon. Can't wait for that in a couple weeks. I was a big Hulk Hogan fan because Hulkamania was running wild, and I was one of those kids. And when the third man was revealed for the NWO, I put this akin to that emotionally. It for me, as a kid at the time, when Hulk, so when you, was he already in the NWO?
I was a kid yeah, when that okay. happened. Like a kid, like God, what year was that? That was 90.
So it's that kind of.
I was like nine.
It's that kind of stunned.
Sure.
Because I just thought it was going to go a certain way, and it's like, Triple H, dude, you are so good. I hate you. I really hate you at this moment because this hurts, and it should not hurt. But it absolutely does. And I get it's a TV show, and I get all that. But you do get emotionally invested in these characters, and then that. And it wasn't like, oh, man, I can't believe I got God. It was like, how we got God.
Dude, I again, like, and before you go, how do you guys look, it's like any other form of entertainment. You watch movies, you watch television shows, and the reason we watch them is because there is some sort, to me, the best art, and I do consider professional wrestling an art, the best art is art that impacts you emotionally. And sometimes that emotion is no emotion. Sometimes it's the ability to flip the switch and turn your brain off and not worry about the world being on fire around us. Sometimes it's not, but my favorite music is music that makes me feel something. My favorite movies are movies that have you either laughing hilariously or sitting on the edge of your seat in anticipation. Some of you weirdos like movies that scare the bejesus out of you, right? Like, what emotion is what we go for. This is a story of a 10-year relationship that dates back to 2014 of three men who were put into a group and had this entirely different thing planned out for them. And in kayfabe, came together to figure out that, you know what, we want to be happy and positive and all that. And then as wrestlers out of kayfabe, we're given this garbage gimmick of like, hey, you're three black religious guys. And we're able to overcome that. And as the old metaphor goes, grab the brass ring to turn that pairing or that grouping into something that for years, people went out of their way to see and be a part of. And now, in kayfabe, that group has broken up with two of them turning on the guy who was the engine behind the whole thing in Big E. It was the first time in a long time, because like I said, I've been in an emotional high. Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30 knocking off Batista and Triple H and Randy Orton in two different matches, including a three-way match at the end of the night. That was one of the highest highs I've ever felt as a fan. Monday night was one of the lowest lows I felt in a long time. And now that kind of emotion can hook you in, I'm right back in.
So here's the question, though. What do they do with this? I mean, what do they do with this? How do they capitalize? Because the next move has to be a pretty big move to match what they just did, right?
Well, so there's multiple ways, and here's where we get into the risk of fantasy booking, but I've always said this. Wrestling is at its best when hardcore wrestling fans have no idea what's going on. Like, or what's coming next, I should say. Wrestling's at its best when hardcore fans don't know what's coming next. Because if they don't know what's coming next, the casuals certainly don't. And I don't know what's coming next. There's all kinds of possibilities. There's the possibility that we get a Kofi and Xavier tag team heel run for a while, and then does Big E come back? Is he capable of being medically cleared? We don't know. Kofi said he's not. He said, you're never coming back. We don't want you here
but
anymore.
I think all signs have pointed towards he was on his way
sure.
back.
Sure. So does he come back with somebody else as his partner to take them down as a tag team? Does he come back as a solo face and try to rip them back? Does he come back and we have this long saga of him just getting the hell beat out of him, but never giving up on bringing Kofi and Xavier back to being the New Day versions of themselves? There's so many different ways that this could go. Here's what I know. We get Big E back on TV. Hell yeah.
Wow.
It might be a little while.
Yeah, I know.
I think you got to let them go on a run for a while to prove that they are, as heels, are nasty dudes that can get it done. But Big E is the light at the end of the tunnel.
All right, let's jump into some positive news, something that was just announced a little while ago. Pat McAfee will return to WWE on Netflix. So now we know when his return is going to be, and he will be back with Michael Cole on Raw on the Monday nights.
Good. I think McAfee does an outstanding job.
We knew he was coming back more than likely.
Oh, for sure.
Because he did it last year. But now having a date, because there was speculation that would be when it would be. I am curious what the announced team sounds like on Netflix. Are restraints pulled off? Is it more like what his TV and radio show are?
So there was a report that came out yesterday on the Dirt Sheets, and again, you know, Dirt Sheets, you can read into them as much as you want to or not at all. But there was a report yesterday that an internal memo from WWE is basically saying they don't plan to change anything. Like, there might be a little bit more, and I think you saw that on NXT, because we had a couple of words that would have caught a bleep on the Rob Brown show get uttered on NXT Tuesday night. I think you'll get a little bit more edge, right? But I don't think you're getting wholesale F-bombs on Netflix. I think you might get a couple more B-words. I think you get a couple more I'll kick your asses. I think you get a couple more S-words mixed in there.
At the same time, they're still trying to keep the audience that they have, which is, I think, still primarily, or a lot, is kids and
Look,
families coming.
Wrestling is always going to be catered to kids. It just is. Even, again, this is why I loved AEW. And the problem with AEW is they're trying to kind of walk it back. AEW needs to do the opposite. They need to go to the far end of the kid friend. No, you're not a kid. We are anti-kid friendly. We are going full wholesale, gratuitous violence, sex, drugs, and rock and roll wrestling. But WWE, as a billion-dollar project is always going to be driven by kids, because their objective is what? Their objective is to get your kids to love wrestling growing up, so that when you go, you step into the role that goes, I've loved wrestling since I was a kid. Now I have an expendable income and I got a kid and I'm going to make them a wrestling fan. I think it'll get a little bit more edgy, but I also think, and this is just me, I also think as society rolls on, you are seeing a shift in what is considered kid friendly. Things that are considered kid friendly now would never have flown back in the 90s. So I do think it'll be a little more edgy, but I don't think you're going to be getting McAfee dropping F-bombs on the mic like he does on his radio show.
All right, really quick, because this will be for Nerfwall. The last one didn't work because everyone called in on Saturday. NXT pay-per-view this weekend. Deadline. There are 5 matches. Let us start with the tag team championship match between Nathan Frazier and Axiom, who are the current champions, and No Quarter Catch Crew, which is Tavian Heights and Miles Bourne. By the way, I like No Quarter Catch Crew. I hope they get some more airtime.
It's
because I like Regal's kid.
I don't disagree with that at all. I do. I like Regal's kid. I like that he can kind of toe the line between.
I also like Rin Sinclair, who just accidentally wins all the time.
That was fantastic, yes. By the way. That was absolutely fantastic. Let's go No Quarter.
Okay, I also am going to go No Quarter.
Because you've got them with William Regal as a proxy now, too. Even though he's not, He is.
Yeah, he is. All right. Lola Vice versus Jada Parker in an NXT Underground match.
This is one of those spots that it got a little spicy on NXT the other day. She said, we're going to run this bleep back, which I thought was great.
Well, when one person hits the other person
with a brick in the face.
Yeah, you kind of want to get back at that person somehow.
I don't disagree. Lola Vice.
Yeah. We're not though.
Okay.
I'm going to skip ahead before we do the Iron Survivor matches to Trick Williams versus Ridge Holland.
See, this one I don't know because I was convinced it was going to be Trick hanging on, but Ridge has picked up a win. He's done a couple of attacks on Trick here and there. I'm gonna stick with Trick Willie style here, but this is one that I'm like 52% confident in.
All right, I'm gonna go with Ridge Holland. They've really been pushing him, but he's not ready to go back to the main roster. I think Trick Williams is. I think
that's fair.
I think he is. His mic skills have improved since Carmelo left, and he's had more airtime. His wrestling was already there, but needed just a little bit of tweaking.
I think he's ready.
All right, two Iron Survivor matches: one women, one men. And how this works is a 25-minute time limit. As many pinfalls or submissions as you can get within that time. All right, let's start with the women because I think it's the more challenging to figure out. Julia versus Stephanie Vaquer versus Zarya versus Sol Ruka versus Rin Sinclair.
I love the way they threw Rin Sinclair into this, but I think in doing so, they kind of made her the one that's going to eat a lot of this. I'm also a huge. Nobody in a very long time has had the turnaround, in my opinion. Then Sol Ruka. I was not a fan of her early in the day. Now I'm like,
I was.
That chick's a badass.
Yes.
She's awesome.
Her finisher, the
Soul Snatcher.
Soul Snatcher.
Is as good as I've ever seen.
It's so good.
It's so good. All of that being said, you've got three global superstars in this match, in Julia Vaquer and Zarya. It's to me between Stephanie and Zarya. I really like Zarya, but I'm going to go Stephanie Vaquer in this one. Do we match up there too?
Yeah, because I'd already wrote that down. I think so, too, because I think the obvious choice, everyone's going to believe it's going to be Julia. And who knows? Zarya might come in and do it, too.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Zarya. I think it's one of those two. I just think Vakir's got a little bit more push ready to go.
And finally, for the men, Wes Lee versus Ethan Page versus Nathan Frazier versus Javion Evans versus Eddie Thorpe.
This is another one I'm like 52%.
Although Eddie Thorpe could be replaced because he got jumped at the end of the show, and there's a lot of speculation out there that The Rock sent the Bloodline to beat him up because he hurt his daughter. I mean, that's the speculation.
That'd be interesting.
That would be great. I don't believe that, but that would be great.
Same, but it would be interesting. Give me Wesley.
Daggone it.
Another one?
I hate you.
I want you to know I went first on all of these with no idea who Lonzo picked.
Yeah, so the only thing that we varied on is Trick Williams and Ridge Holland.
Okay.
So
that's the game right there.
It comes down to one right there.
All right, that's Fight Club. We do it every Thursday at 9:20, talking all the MMA and pro wrestling and sometimes boxing that you can possibly handle. We'll be coming back here in just a minute. I'll give you some of the sound from Shane Beamer's press conference yesterday regarding South Carolina's not getting into a playoff spot, at least not yet. It's not happening, but at least not yet. We'll play that for you. We'll ask what the X is going on, and we'll get up out of here for the day on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. So we'll see if this does impact anybody. Shane believes, and at least a couple of other coaches, I'm sure at this point, believe that scheduling strong out of conference is officially pointless now. So we'll see if that changes anything about the landscape of college football moving forward.
Wow. And I'm just letting it go. Mm-hmm. And I'm just letting it go because I just, wow.
I wasn't going to say anything.
You know what I need to do? I need to move my beds around so I don't do that anymore because that's a senior mistake.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I'm starting to make more of those. At least you guys are witnessing the end of me. So there's that. You've witnessed the beginning of me. 20-something years ago.
We are
starting to witness the end of me.
We're going to start a GoFundMe to make sure Lonzo's in a very nice home. Very nice
home. I want to go to the Villages, man. I hear it's really nice down there.
I mean, listen, you want to go to Florida, bud, we'll make it work.
They got golf carts and everything. You got pool down there in Florida. I might need to go. All right, the first thing that's X-ing is Dan Morgan.
Dan Morgan, a.k.a. the general manager of your Carolina Panthers, ladies and gentlemen. He is X-ing because everybody's looking and being like, oh, damn, the Panthers maybe got a little something cooking down there. Maybe Dan Morgan kind of owned us something here. I don't know why.
All right. He is X-ing because people are saying they owe him an apology because they were so mad when he traded away Deontay Johnson.
Yeah. It turns out Deontay Johnson, whoops, he has been suspended by the Baltimore Ravens, the team that they sent Deontay Johnson to. What'd they get back for him? Like a fourth rounder from Baltimore? He just refused to go in the game last week. Just refused. He was like, nope, I'm good, coach. I'm not going in. So they've suspended him. And everybody's like, oh, dude, the Panthers fleeced the Ravens on that one. And they kind of did.
They did. They did. I mean, you can see how mad I am at myself because my face is blood red. I'm so ticked that I did that again. The next thing that's X-ing is Creature Commandos.
I have nothing.
Okay. Creature Commandos is the first thing to drop from the new DC with James Gunn. And
okay.
It's animated, and you'll love it from what I've seen of the trailers. The first two episodes dropped today, like at midnight last night.
So check it out. I have been in on Max,
and from what I've seen, it's very adult, and I don't know if it's to the degree of like Harley Quinn, but it's around that level.
First off, I adore the Harley Quinn
animated
series.
That's why I'm trying to sell you on it.
I am currently blasting my way through Invincible, which I am also in love with.
It's in the lines of Invincible also, from what I can tell.
I'm all in.
And this is his first official DC thing since he took over.
I mean, listen, I'm 100% giving the DC Gunniverse a shot. If this is the start, let's go.
All right. The next thing that's next, I'm going to go home and watch the first two episodes.
I like it.
Because I'll be there alone because it might be that bad. All right. The next thing that's next is your boy, J.J. Redick.
J.J. Redick is trending because the Lakers actually had a pretty good start to the season. And now they suck for some reason. They got blown out by 41 points last night. LeBron James has been in the NBA for 20 seasons. This is just his third time losing by 40 or more. JJ got on to the mic, and he's like, look, at the end of the day, he kind of pulled the, Jerod Mayo from New England a couple of weeks ago, got put on blast because he's like, look, once the boys cross the white line, there's nothing I can do, right? And other people are like, oh, you're the head coach. It's like, yeah, but at the end of the day, like, if you haven't taught them how to play football when they go out there, there's not much you can do to adjust. JJ's on the mic, and he's like, there's not a lot I can do. He's like, I can't go out there. I can't go crash the glass. I can't knock down threes. I can't make the extra pass. I can't swing the ball. There's not much I can do. Oh, I'm not saying it's the player's fault, though. Dog, that's exactly what you said, JJ. Like, come on, man. Like, I'm at the point now where if I was JJ Redick, I'd 100% put it on the players. Be like, LeBron, I appreciate you getting me this job, dog. But if y'all don't get something going, it's going to be my last job, dog. So maybe let's try. Please try. There was a play last night where the Heat wrapped the ball around, spread it. It went from the top of the key, side of the key, under the basket, back to the side of the key. Then back under the basket for a Jimmy Butler layup, Lonzo. There were four gold jerseys around Jimmy Butler. Not one of them even took a step towards the layup. I've never seen anything like it. Like, legitimately, I would have sat every Laker. I'd have forfeited the game on the spot. Like, if that was a youth team I was coaching, I swear to you, I'd have called the ref over and been like, we're done. We're going home. They don't want to play. We're out of here.
Wow. And finally, the last thing that's X-ing is Hawk Tua.
Yeah, I saw that trending earlier, and that is, I'm willing to click on risky things on my work laptop to find out why they're trending.
It's not.
Okay, good. I mean, I know, like, there's Hawk Tua girl and
it's about her. Apparently, she started a thing called Meme Coin, which is like Dogecoin or something like that, and people lost a lot of money, and they're pretty angry about it.
Oh, God, people keep losing money on fake money. I'm shocked.
I don't get it.
I'm shocked that people are losing money on their fake money. And stop buying fake money with real money, you morons!
And out of all the fake money that that you're spending money on, why would you do it with her? I just, no.
I want it on the record. If you bought fake money from the, sorry, let me say it the way she would say. If you bought fake money from the hawk to a girl, I'm glad you lost your money because you don't deserve to have it in the first place. If you bought fake money from hawk to a girl with real money, it sucks to be you, but you deserve it.
Yeah, next time that fake, just give me the money that you spent on that. I will invest it wisely.
Y'all have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Thanks for being here. Tell your friends about us. We're trying to get famous on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate later.